I'm probably going to be a little more cautious than some of my colleagues. Listen, what's going on with Tulsi Gabbard and the criminal referral to the DOJ and the FBI, Pam Bondi and Kash Patel? It's nothing short of shocking. And it's this kind of stuff I think that could spread to widespread violence in this country. I'm talking about as a post-reaction if criminal charges are referred. I have some questions about what's been presented. And my focus is very clear. The Hunter Biden laptop issue, I'm satisfied that's been thoroughly discredited, and Clapper, Brennan, and Comey were three of the 51 intelligence agents that I believe knowingly committed fraud in that area. But that's not what this is about. And there are allegations of treason against the aforementioned people, plus former President Obama. And I am not sure that that term applies. And I hold these four people in contempt because they don't represent the ideals of our Constitution, the Constitutional Republic. And I could point to many things which I don't feel I need to. But I also have to walk the fine line of being fair and objective in what I do. And I'm not going to promote unsubstantiated hysteria, but I am going to talk about suspicion. I am going to talk about the fact that this needs to be thoroughly investigated, and perhaps these four people will come out smelling like a rose. We're going to get into it right here on the Common Sense Show, and saying, Dave, you kind of held off for a couple of days on it. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. This is the biggest potential scandal in American history. And it might end up being in court a nothing burger if it gets to court. It might be something that this is hyperbole and it's going to go away. I don't think that's going to be the case here. But if there's any merit to the Tulsi Gabbard allegations in the criminal referral, backed up by the head of the CIA in statements he's made to Fox News, this makes Watergate look like recess for kindergartners. This is very serious, but I'm not sure treason applies. I think there are other elements of the law that need to be considered. Wow, this is shocking, and I wish this was not happening. We pride ourselves in America in a peaceful transition of power, and we have the so-called patriotic opposition, politically speaking. Well, that's clearly gone by the wayside. I covered that yesterday when I talked about the five elements of civil war, and that we have parts of all five elements. And so I don't want to do anything to inflame the situation, but I'm going to tell you how I see it based on what evidence I've looked at. And I think there's some strong evidence there, and I think there's some evidence that I think needs further proof. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show, and this is the most disturbing report I have probably ever delivered. I don't like scandal in my government, and I know we have a lot of it. DOJ uncovered a lot. I don't like it. I want people to go to Washington and serve the people and follow the law. And I am for a complete crackdown on anyone, whether they be Republican, Democrat, Independent, who do not serve the interests of the people. They have a fiduciary responsibility to the people first. That means the citizens of the United States. And you're going, well, Dave, what about people here illegally? Well, they're human beings, and they're, regardless of what their final disposition is, they're entitled to humane treatment because they're human beings. And this is a nation that we don't want to dip into some of the more serious human rights violations we've seen in the past. But I'm saying America first, and I'm not quoting Trump. I'm quoting Dave Hodges. I want a government that serves me, the interest of our country, over political game playing. And when laws are broken, politicians need to be held accountable. I don't care whether their position is high or their position is low. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And a lot of times we're trailblazers on some of these issues. On this, I may trailblaze in a couple of areas, but we're going to be conservative because these serious charges need serious proof. We are brought to you by tremendous products, I should say. And I credit these products with saving my life. And I'm not saying that euphemistically. I'm a user of these products. And as you know, in March of 2024, I was diagnosed with pneumonia and strep lung linings of RSV. And it's kind of funny how stuff like that catches up with you, because I'll be darned if I wasn't working out and in fairly good shape. But I was working out 5 times a week, and I was getting anywhere between 8 to 12,000 steps a day and doing some cardio. But boom, I got hit. Oh my goodness gracious. It was really, really bad. Now, I got through the pneumonia, a course of prednisone steroids, suppress the immune system designed to get breathing back to normal, get rid of the inflammation, and strong antibiotics. Got rid of that in 3 or 4 days. I'm fine. But the RSV with strep lung linings, oh, bad prognosis. Dave, you're not coming back from that at your age. Oh, I know, Dave, you've been athletic, but these aren't coming back. What's in my future? Well, probably oxygen. I remember I told my wife, I said, I'm not accepting this. Doctor's competent. I think he's trying to be fair and honest with me. And he wasn't the only one who told me this. I went to a specialist, got told the same thing. So Scotty Sachs came to me, someone I partner with over on Sovereign Radio. And Scotty said, Dave, try the NanoSoma liquid spray. And the standard dose is 5 sprays once a day, but you can use it as much as you want. It's all natural, doesn't cure anything, but it'll boost your immune system to tremendous levels. I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. I kid you not. In a week to 2 weeks, I was doing that. I was back in the gym in about 3 weeks, not performing at a really high level. But as I began to progress and come back from this, my joints, yeah, the ones that made me stop playing basketball 25 years ago, problem. So I used the topical gel. And over a 2 to 3 month period, they claim it grows pluripotent stem cells. I haven't had an MRI to verify that, but I will tell you this. I can do things I haven't done in 25 years, sled push, sprints, deadlift, squats. Yeah, the problem was in one of my knees in particular, bone on bone. Don't have the pain anymore. I have the pain in my muscles. And then, of course, the skin cream, fine lines and wrinkles. Well, that's good. It's not why I used it. Had this huge gash. Remember the gash? I had the bandage on there. I needed 4 to 6 stitches. I said, nah, I'm going to try to get by without stitches. And so I put this on it. I wrapped it up every day, cleaned it every day, wrapped it up again, used the cream. And in 2 weeks, didn't need any stitches. These are great products, people. They're great products that can change your life. I get testimonials from our audience all the time. I'll go speak at a conference. I remember last year I was at Hear the Watchman conference. Two ladies walked up to me, and one of them was almost in tears. Dave, this product changed my life. I would never have known about it had it not been for you. And I go, I understand the feeling. See that man over there, Scotty Sachs? Yeah, he's the one that saved my life. So I would suggest that you take a strong look at this. It's good for prevention. This doesn't cure anything, but it does raise the immune system levels. And I suggest you get involved in this. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/DaveHodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/DaveHodges. And I just felt, I don't know, a feeling inside my gut. Someone really needed to hear this. That's why I spent a little longer, but let's get down to the bottom line here. We have a situation here in this country that could rip this country apart. That's why I'm being cautious. I'm going to play a really brief clip because I don't want to over-dramatize this, but this is Sunday Morning Futurist Maria Bartiromo on Fox News Sunday Morning Show. Tulsi Gabbard, the Director of National Intelligence, overseeing 18 intelligence agencies, was there. And I wanted to play a clip for you. And I have to tell you, I'm still in absolute shock. Not in denial, I'm in
Joining
shock.
me now is the woman herself, the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard. Director, thanks very much for being here this morning.
Good morning, Maria. Thank you.
What was the most damning thing that you learned after looking through all of these declassified documents?
Maria, the implications of this are frankly nothing short of historic. Over 100 documents that we released on Friday really detail and provide evidence of how this treasonous conspiracy was directed by President Obama just weeks before he was due to leave office, after President Trump had already gotten elected. This is not a Democrat or Republican issue. This is an issue that is so serious it should concern every single American, because it has to do with the integrity of our democratic republic. What we saw occur here, as the documents we released detailed, was that we had a sitting president of the United States and his cabinet and leadership team, quite frankly, who were not happy with the fact that President Trump had won the election, that the American people had chosen Donald J. Trump to be the next president commander-in-chief of the United States. And so they decided that they would do everything possible to try to undermine his ability to do what voters tasked President Trump to do. So creating this piece of manufactured intelligence that claims that Russia had helped Donald Trump get elected contradicted every other assessment that had been made previously in the months leading up to the election that said exactly the opposite, that Russia neither had the intent nor the capability to try to, quote unquote, hack the United States election for the presidency of the United States. So the effect of what President Obama and his senior national security team did was subvert the will of the American people, undermining our democratic republic, and enacting what would be essentially a years-long coup against President Trump, who was duly elected by the American people.
Yeah. Now, I want to go back to something Devin Nunes said, which is exactly what you're saying right now. And he said, after all of our investigation, we found that there was no intelligence. There was no intelligence, actually.
That will be the battleground. First, you have to prove, and the documents are highly suggestive of this, but you have to prove that there was foreknowledge and intent to defraud the American people and cause fake investigations based on nothing to occur. Okay. You first have to prove that Trump was not in collusion with the Russians. Now, he's done some business deal with Russian business interests, but that means nothing here. Nothing there that I've seen would suggest anything sleight of hand inappropriate for a future or presidential candidate or a president in office. He did these things as a businessman, and that's the end of the story. Now, the Democrats are falling back on this, saying, see, we had evidence so we could proceed with this. That's going to be the court battle. It's what they're going to bring up with any Russian association Trump or any of his advisors prior to being elected ever had with Russia to try to show undue influence over him. And you're saying, well, dude, that is horse crap. You should take a side here. I am taking a side, taking the side of the truth. I'm not saying that those allegations are accurate. In fact, actually, I think that that's a tall hill to climb for the Democratic Party interests here on this case. But that's going to be their argument. And you have to know that they have some of the best lawyers in the country, and they're going to serve this argument up to the top of the level that they can. So this isn't an open and shut case. These cases never are open and shut. The other thing that we're looking at here is, did President Trump knowingly become an agent of Vladimir Putin, as alleged by Hillary Clinton publicly, and then coming out with the Russian dossier, which we know now really has no credibility? I think that's been pretty well substantiated. But was he under the influence of Vladimir Putin? And then the third aspect is, could Russia hack our elections? Now, this is open to some interpretation here. Are they talking about interfering in things like voting machine function, stealing paper ballots and substituting their own? I mean, that's one element that I'm not seeing well defined here. The other element would be, okay, if it's not direct election and tampering, was it manufacturing a set of propaganda that permeated the American people, thus we could assume influenced a certain amount of votes? I will tell you, proving the certain amount of votes in a court of law under those circumstances is going to be next to impossible. And I'm someone with a stat and a research background. I think that's a tall hill to climb, and I don't think it's going to stand up to scrutiny. But I'm giving you what the Democrats are going to come back with. What's being alleged in the Trump camp that this was manufactured to interfere in his presidency. Now, I've talked to some Trump officials and Trump people, former Trump people, including a victim. How did I get that access to the information? Clay Clark seminars that I've spoken at twice. And these people were here, and I got to interact with them, and I got to talk and get their perspective. Not once did I feel what I was being told was wrong or inaccurate. But that doesn't mean what I was being told was necessarily true. That's what the courts are going to be for. Now, here's the problem I have with bridging into the most serious allegation, which is treason. If this is not true, this is defamation. This is clearly fraud and misuse of federal resources to perpetrate a fraud, if this is true. Treason says that you have to do things to undermine the country, to betray it to, say, a foreign or a corporate interest, a private interest. I think the treason charge, as I have seen, might be a stretch. We're going to have to see. Defamation, fraudulent use of government services, I think that's well within the reach, and that'll be pursued vigorously. If it's treason, Katie bar the door. Because if you get a conviction, then what's your penalty going to be? And this is where I believe there will be serious backlashes in the country if we get to this point. Now, there's a long way from saying we're here and we're going to be there. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But I'm just saying this is not going to be a smooth trial. It's not going to be a smooth transition. If you think that there is civil disobedience and civil insurrection over ICE raids, my comment to you would be, on these circumstances, you have seen nothing yet. And I don't know that the people on the right, if things don't go their way legally, won't respond in similar fashion. I don't know. This is what I'm afraid of. I don't want this to tear the country any further apart than it already is. And this could be the final division. And the consequences, I don't know. Do I think President Trump was an agent of Putin? No. I will tell you this. President Trump was opposed to a lot of the international groups that want to do certain things to the United States and were in the process of doing so under Bush and then later Obama. And he wanted to stop that. And I think he thought an alliance with Russia might work well. And Putin sounded like he was on board with this for a while, that maybe we could do some work together and basically send the country down the path of self-determination for countries with a minimal amount of foreign influence. I thought they had that in common, and I thought the Russian delusion, as it's called, or the Russian hoax, as it's referred to, was a stand in the way to stop this. Because then if Trump moves towards any kind of an agreement with Putin, then the allegations come up, see, he is a Russian agent. That's what I thought was behind this originally. I'm still not sure that my conclusion is not correct and the valid one. But treason, I'm going to have to see more before I say this is treason. If these allegations are true, it's criminal. But treason has a fairly high bar. And it's only treason if you can show the intent was treasonous. And the argument's going to be made by the left is, no. We didn't trust this president. We had a right to put him under the microscope for the good of the country. You may not agree with that, and I'm not sure I agree with that, but I'm telling you, that's going to be the argument that's going to be made on the other side. You know, you could almost write a script for the trial. This is not a hard thing to do. I have to tell you, if you think this is easy for Tulsi Gabbard, and if Pam Bondi looks at this and has to make a decision about to prosecute or not prosecute, wow. But I will also say this, if this does not end in a serious criminal investigation with at least some allegations against some of the people. It might be as low level as Peter Strzok. It might rise to the level of Barack Obama. But if this does not happen, the American people will have lost their patience. One of the things that I continually hear, and I share this sentiment, you say all this fraud has occurred in DOGE, and I'm satisfied that DOGE has uncovered a lot of fraud. Where are the perp walks? Your big, beautiful bill got passed. You have nothing holding you back now, Mr. President. Where are the perp walks to support the allegations made by DOGE and the fraud that was uncovered in organizations like USAID? And I haven't seen anything meaningful. The best that's happened hasn't even happened out of the Trump administration, and I'm saying in terms of the best being in this direction. You had three Pennsylvania officials be indicted for voter fraud, and you had 15 officials in Texas for the same thing. I don't think enough to swing an election at a state level or a federal level. We'll have to see. The Pennsylvania thing might have swung a mayor's race. I should back away from that, but that statement. But in terms of national implication, no. And this is the biggest thing that's happened so far. And these are not household names. These are mayors and ex-mayors and party officials and, and all kinds of game playing done with the election process. But it's minor. You know, the old saying, it wasn't enough to make a difference. I don't know that I buy that as a blanket explanation for these allegations, but I will say this. I don't think in these two cases it was enough to make a difference on a large scale. That's the best the Trump administration's done, and they weren't even part of it. So where are the perp walks? If you're misallocating money in USAID for things that have nothing to do with the public interest, then where's the perp walk? I'm growing impatient with this. Are you growing impatient with this? I want perp walks to support the allegations. And I think DOGE has uncovered enough that we should already see people indicted and being on trial right now. Now, I'm going to say one more thing about this case involving potential. Well, it's not potential. Tulsi Gabbard has issued a criminal referral to the DOJ. That's an official act. And she says there's enough evidence to proceed criminally and the DOJ should take this. She's been very clear on that point. The problem is would the trial be held in Washington, D.C.? If it is, you're not even going to get a grand jury to indict, much less get a conviction. Don't kid yourself. This is a long way from going anywhere. And I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer, but there's a long hill to climb here. I just look at Watergate. Watergate was so simple compared to this and so much more minor than the allegations we're hearing. And that took a while to unfold, didn't it? This was not going to be a quick resolution. And it's interesting because I haven't heard Obama, Clapper, Brennan, or Comey come out. I will tell you what I'd like to see happen is the Hunter Biden laptop situation. If you're to believe the computer repairman who got control of it and saw everything, disseminated a lot of it and how he was treated, I think there's a lot of smoke there. If there's a fire, it needs to be looked at. We live in very, very sad times in America. It greatly distresses me that we have to report this. It truly does. Because if these allegations are even partially true, it says there is a political party out there that refuses to respect the will of the people. And I find that very disturbing. Tell me what you think in the comment section. I opened up a big can of worms, and I know some of you from things you've already said to me that you think this is an open shut case, and I think I've made a pretty good case. It is not an open and shut case. I don't even know if we're going to have a case. Tell me what you think. Can't wait to read the comments. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world, welcome to The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one Enslave Mind at a Time. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you. Check out our TV show at thecommonsenseshow.tv. It's really cool. People love the Hiding in Plain Sight series that we've nicknamed Hips, and got all kinds of cool stuff going up there this afternoon. Three new editions, maybe five. Well, I think it's five. Anyway, it's great stuff. People love it. Thecommonsenseshow.tv. And we're going to really expand that section because it's a good mental health break for me because it's fun. It is informative and it is relevant, but it's fun. This stuff we're going to give you is serious. I'm hearing constantly Civil War, Civil War, Civil War. The Civil War movie I saw that they put out, what was it, a year ago? Was horrendous. It wasn't historically accurate. It wasn't practical. It didn't follow perceived patterns that lead to civil war. It was just a conglomeration of scenes mixed in with some violence. But I do share the concern of some of my colleagues that we are approaching a civil war, but there's also some guardrails that we need to look at too. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk you through the five generally agreed upon preconditions for a civil war. And then we're going to look at the guardrails. And then we're going to talk frankly about where we're at. And more importantly, what we should be doing. And I'm going to just use this word right out here before we get into this very deeply, de-escalation. And it can be done on a one-to-one personal basis. It can be done on social media. And it doesn't mean we ignore problems and we don't call people or situations out when they need it, but we don't deliberately look to antagonize. And I'm going to come back to that quite often. Hey, we are brought to you by My Digital Money. You know, and I think you believe that the dollar is in trouble. Now, can Trump rescue it? Well, the stablecoin is a move towards trying to do that. I'm not a big stablecoin fan, but the jury's still out. I'm still evaluating. But I will tell you what I'm not evaluating: gold, silver, and crypto. And you need to be in all three if you have any discretionary income, because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, particularly the bank and particularly your retirement. We've covered this now. We covered it yesterday. UCC, Section 8, right? Part five, banks can take your money if there is any insolvency anywhere along in that banking chain. And Dodd-Frank 2010 says that when you put your money or have your retirement associated with the bank, it's theirs and they can do what they want. So you're covered there twice. I think it's unconstitutional as anything, but nonetheless, that's the law. So what about the Bitcoin? What about the crypto? People are going to get rich off this. In a year, we went from low 60s to 111,000. But that's just the beginning with stablecoin coming on and Trump showing an affinity for crypto and Bitcoin, because I think he sees the need to have an alternative to the dollar. This thing is going to explode. And experts are saying 300,000. In a few years to 5 years, it could be a million. This is the time to jump on board. But you got to choose a reputable company. You don't want to jump in bed with FTX, right? We went through that nonsense. And it really ruined the reputation of Bitcoin, in which most of the retailers in Bitcoin are reputable businesses run by reputable people. Unfortunately, guilt by association, but that's died off now. Now, who do I look at as one of the most, if not the most reputable? That would be the people at My Digital Money. And by the way, if you make a killing and you need to get liquid for whatever reason, you want to buy a car, you want to pay off your house, whatever it would be, they buy it back from you. They offer cold storage. It's military grade in security. They don't mix business like FTX did with some personal assets that's yours. They don't do that. Totally separate. They follow the law to the hilt. How do you get a hold of My Digital Money for a no obligation conversation, telling them I told you to call? Well, first, just go to the website and look them over. MyDigitalMoney.com. MyDigitalMoney.com is where you go. Now, I know some of you are saying, I want to jump on this now. I don't want to have to go through a website. I want to talk to somebody. Okay, that's easy to do. 833-636-2008. think those last four digits are an accident. If you know your history, you know what I'm talking about. That's 833-636-2008. It's who I use. It's who I hope you'll use. MyDigitalMoney.com is the website. All right, let's go through these five preconditions for civil war and then look at guardrails and what history says about guardrails and these five things combined together. And let's see if we can't see where America is at, historically speaking. Number one predictor, entrenched polarization. We even have paid protesters that are doing outrageous things, endangering the lives of law enforcement. Whether you agree with their mission or not, you don't attack law enforcement. You handle the matter in the courts. That's what a civilized society does. Okay, number two. Divisive press coverage. No, it's funny. MSNBC and CNN are going through an absolute bloodbath with layoffs. And for my money, my perspective, my opinion, now this is my opinion, I'm not going to promote this as absolute gospel fact, but from my opinion, MSNBC and CNN, hopelessly biased to the left, hopelessly unobjective. They lack total objectivity. And they have one agenda, and it's, and really the term Trump derangement syndrome comes up, TDS. There's no such disorder in the mental health handbook called DSM. But I understand what they're talking about, and there is an obsession with being divisive from the left. Now, I'm going to say on the right, and I'm not a big believer in Fox. I look at them as controlled opposition. But for those of you who do believe in them, and it's not that they don't have some good people, and I think they have some great people there, but the network is controlled by the Murdoch brothers. We know who their major asset manager is. Okay, they're not coming to you from a conservative position. But let's assume that you've bought into that model. Yes, they are totally biased for Donald Trump, and they leave out some issues. Okay, they leave out some issues. Oh, you want an example? Be happy to. The Epstein list needs to be released. I don't care who's on it. I don't care. Fox News does not have that position. My feeling is if we don't defend our most vulnerable citizens, the elderly, the handicapped, and most importantly, the youth, if we're not willing to protect our children, then what good are we as a civilization? That's how you judge the merit of a civilization. And you don't get to make exceptions because some famous person or some important person is on the list. Then they might suffer reputation damage or legal consequences. I don't care. Fox News will never say that. They're playing their role right there, straight to the hilt. So the divisive press coverage does come from both sides. The right constantly attacks the left. They make fun of their body shapes. Okay. Make fun of me, guys. I make fun of myself. That's okay. I hear this on, you watch Gutfeld. Or it's not important. I want issues when we talk about the news. I don't want insults because of someone's appearance. Okay, it gets old. And that's divisive. So the right and the left both do it. Who does it more? I think unquestionably it's the left. Number three, weakened institutions. There's a deliberate attempt to make that happen right now. Leftist federal district judges making rulings outside their district, and many of the rulings are clearly unconstitutional and violate things like Article 4, president's ability to control what happens with the border and immigration, Article 2, control over the executive branch. This is a real issue for me. This is a real issue. Now, the Supreme Court has spoken. Hello, federal district court judges. You can't do unconstitutional things, and we'll correct you if you do, but you also can't rule outside your jurisdiction, your district. And they're continuing to do it. Where's the legal consequence? Well, there is a legal consequence. This gets into the weakened institutions argument. Congress has the ability to defund any one of these judges on a majority vote, or they could impeach them on a majority vote. Doesn't take 60 votes, no supermajority needed. Why aren't they doing it? These judges, like Boasberg, clearly violating the law. Clearly violating the Supreme Court. Why aren't they being dealt with? weakened institution. Congress loves to have investigations, and you notice how there's never significant perp walks. That's called a weakened institution. And the Supreme Court has issued rulings, and the federal district court judges are still violating the Supreme Court ruling. Weakened institution. And some of this was done deliberately. Oh, in the Biden administration, right? And the Roe v. Wade issue came up with abortion, and people, it doesn't matter what your position is. That's not what we're debating here. What I'm talking about is the legality of protesting and trespassing on Supreme Court judges' land. You're not even allowed to protest in front of their house. It's illegal. It's a federal crime. But what did Merrick Garland say? Well, they have the right to free speech. That was a violation of the law. That's weakening the institution of the Supreme Court. So on the second point of leading to a civil war, I would have to say this is in the affirmative, and it's on the side saying it points in this direction. Number four, abandonment of duty. Forsaking responsibility. The aforementioned Epstein files, DOJ, absolutely. Pam Bondi's probably following orders from Trump. Trump's guilty of it. Let's call him out. As I said, that's an abandonment of duty. The Department of Justice should be transparent to all. Now, the only time you're not transparent, innocent before proven guilty, okay? And then the second thing is, if you have child victims, you don't display their identities or their faces or any identifying criteria. Plain and simple. Outside that, yeah, we need transparency. But what we have is an abandonment of political responsibility. Okay. And you go back to other things. People point to the Hillary Clinton bleaching computer stuff, pre-election, James Comey wouldn't prosecute. Some people say that's an example of what you're talking about, Dave. Yeah, but she's not alone. There are so many instances. I have pointed out where Merrick Garland's been guilty of this with regard to school curriculum and enforcement and its conflicts of interest that he and his family had. I've pointed that out, and it's documented. It's not even open for discussion. That's an abandonment of responsibility for the duty of your branch of government. I just shake my head at this. Now, the fifth one, and this is where it turns ugly, legitimizing violence. I've heard some things said. Representative Garcia from Texas made the comment, well, this is a fight and we need to bring the weapons to the fight. Now, you might be able to really stretch, and I'm telling you, it's a stretch to say, well, he was only speaking metaphorically. I could understand if it was metaphorical, but there should be some back reference to the fact that we're not talking about shooting people or harming people or beating people. We're just talking euphemistically, the weapons of words, the weapons of lawsuits. That's perfectly fine, but that's not how I took it. And then we heard Hakeem Jeffries saying that we're going to demask those people from ICE. Okay, let me explain the reality, and I've said this before. In Mexico, where the cartel is active, if you look at the Mexican soldiers, you look at the federales and the local police, they wear masks. Why? Because they don't want to be doxxed, because they can be dealt with in their homes. They don't want their families to be the victim of violence because the agents or representatives of law enforcement have been identified. That's why they wear the masks. And you've got cartel interests at work in many of these situations involving ICE. It's been part of the legal procedure. Oh, they've arrested the guy from MS-13. Oh, they arrested a guy from the Sinaloa or the CJNG. Okay, we've heard that constantly. And that's a concern. But Hakeem Jeffries wants to expose these people to danger. To me, that's inciting violence. It's opening the door for violence against law enforcement. If ICE or any other law enforcement agency is breaking the law, you sue them, goes to court. And there's plenty of private advocacy groups that'll do that, like the ACLU. You don't have to be a rich private citizen to get justice. These personal private interest groups will take the case and the cause. So you don't need to resort to this, but I am growing concerned. And you've got other people, mostly Democrats, are threatening violence. Well, we just need to go up and slap them upside the head. I've heard that a couple of times. Okay, to me, that's euphemistically. I've said that about stupid people I know, and I'm not being serious. But I think when you're in a position of responsibility dealing with the public and you're an elected leader, you need to be really careful about the words you speak and make sure that you're not giving the covert or overt message that violence is an acceptable framework for solving disputes. And the violence part is scary. What bothers me about leftist media and these leftist politicians, we have seen a police officer in Alvarado, Texas, respond to a raid upon an ICE detention facility, and he was shot in the neck. I have not heard the outrage. This is a policeman who just called to come quell a disturbance. He's probably not entirely sure what he's walking into, gets out of his car, and he's shot in the neck and could have easily died. I don't know about you, but I hurt when I hear about law enforcement agents that are killed on the line of duty because they don't go home to their kids, they don't go home to their family, and they're out there every day taking chances for you and me. We get irritated because they write us tickets, but realize what they do. But I'm not hearing that sentiment from a lot of politicians, and most of them are on the left. If we can't respect law enforcement in this country and advocate for their safety, as long as they're not breaking the rules, and if they're breaking the rules, you don't hurt them, you sue them. But what good are we as a civilization? Now, okay, those are the five predictors. On number five, we're becoming increasingly violent. There's no question. You just look at what happened in LA. Continuing, guardrails. History shows that there is not a civil war in a strong republic form of democracy. That civil wars are more likely to occur when someone is transitioning from republic form of democracy to a dictatorship. That's your danger point. But it's never happened in a major nation like ours or Western nations in the G7 to the G20. I think Canada is much more at risk for this than we are for reasons that we're not going to get into right now. Have we made that transition? Under Biden, we did some. We did some. He came out in his September 1st speech of what was it, 2023? And said, if you're for America First or MAGA, you're the enemy. You're a domestic terrorist. That's inflammatory speech spoken like a dictator. That's scary. Do I think we're headed towards civil war? Not at this time. Part of the reason, too, and here's another guardrail, we do have 27% of our country is gauged to be somewhat malnourished. We don't have widespread famine. We have a growing homelessness problem, which is extremely concerning, but we don't have it to the level to where you're going to see random violence springing up all across the country, culminating in a civil war. We're not there. We're not there. Some of the guardrails that we have, some economic viability, some measure of law and order. Those are the guardrails, but are we in a dangerous point? Yes. And could there ever come along a series of divisive incidences or a big incident where all hell breaks loose? As long as these polarizations exist, the answer is yes. I mean, look at the Obamas, World Left Behind, right? What they made for Netflix, the movie Civil War. The mindset of the country is clearly there. To some degree. But when I look at the historical framework for this, we are not at a Civil War point, but we're much closer to it than we were, say, 5 years ago. I said in the beginning, de-escalation. Did I not? De-escalation. When you're speaking to someone one-on-one and you're not agreeing, say, I understand that's your position. That's okay. Doesn't mean I don't like you. And, you know, two of my four best friends fall down on the liberal side. They're not extreme. And they don't have Trump derangement syndrome, but they don't necessarily like him either. But I can have conversations with these people, and then we move on to talking about basketball or football or our families. De-escalation and not letting things spring up. What do you do about the relative at Thanksgiving that won't invite you because you voted for Donald Trump? I would tell that person, or still your family, and you need to de-escalate. De-escalation starting at the grassroots level can spread. You know, whenever there's an unpopular issue with the left, many times they don't even show up for the hearing in Congress. That's not de-escalation. That's like middle finger to you. We don't care what you think. That's an escalating move. I can't control what Congress does, but I can control what I do in my own life in terms of de-escalation, and so can you. And that's where I believe we should focus as private citizens, and we need to call out people who scream for escalation, personal attacks that have nothing to do with issues, such as someone's appearance, as I mentioned earlier. We need to call those things out, because at some point in time, if we don't heal some of the rift that's in our country, we may not be able to pull things back. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. We will see you back here again next time. Hello, America, and to our friends around the world. Welcome to The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really, really good to be with you. Hey, make sure you sign up for our TV show, thecommonsenseshow.tv, and we've got our hip series there. Fun stuff. Well, I love quantum physics. I like science fiction. I really enjoyed looking at the UFO investigations in Congress. You know, I don't believe in little green men, but they were interesting. And I like repressed technology, learning about that, as well as repressed history. We do all that and more at thecommonsenseshow.tv, and add in the geopolitics and the interviews. You get the complete package. We'll see you over there. Hey, we are brought to you by great sponsor, My Digital Money. With stablecoin coming online, Bitcoin, crypto, XRP, Ethereum, the whole kit and caboodle, it's going to explode. Did you hear my interview with Guy Gottschalk, the CEO of My Digital Money? Well, if you haven't caught that, you should catch that. It's a tremendous, tremendous interview. Guy did a great job laying all of it out. Crypto is where you want to be going forward. We've gone from 60,000 to 111,000 in just over a year. It's going to go to 300,000 to a million. And the experts are saying, hold on to your hats, because this is going to go crazy. My Digital Money is the best at doing what they do. You can trust them. I'm a customer. I love it. Go to mydigitalmoney.com. That's mydigitalmoney.com. Or you can call them at 833 MDM for My Digital Money, 833 MDM 2008. Well, we have an amazing revelation. I watched part of an interview today with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, and the interviewers were kind of afraid to ask him the question. What they really wanted to ask him was, Secretary Bessent, should we get rid of the Federal Reserve? I get all choked up over this. Getting rid of the Federal Reserve. Should we get rid of our migraine headaches? Our rheumatoid arthritis? This is something I don't dance around. The Fed should never have been. It's unconstitutional. Congress, according to the Constitution, shall coin money, not a self-appointed group of selfish, self-serving bankers. But anyway, here's what Scott Bessent said when they finally got around to the right question. What do you want to do about the Fed? Well, we need to evaluate how effective they have been to make some important decisions. Uh-oh. You know what he's saying there? We're looking to get rid of him. Well, let me help the Treasury Department and I'll save you a lot of time. Let's just do a real quick history lesson, bring it up to the present. From 1800 to 1913, at the inception of the Federal Reserve, America supported itself exclusively on tariffs. No wonder the elite hate tariffs, because they want to keep printing money from the government and they want it for their little special projects, courtesy of you, with things like USAID, right? Pretty clear. But anyway, from 1800 to 1913, a dollar was worth a dollar. There were some ups and downs. There was even a depression in there, the 1890 silver depression. But we had a real situation where we had a stable economy, self-supporting based on tariffs, and we were becoming an economic juggernaut. And then the Federal Reserve said, you know, we need to get the people's money out of their hands and into our pockets. And they eventually did away with the gold standard in 1971. And you know what that added up to? Out of control budgets, $37 trillion in debt. Okay, if that's not bad enough for the Federal Reserve that led the charge on this, let's not forget we didn't have an income tax until 1913. Yeah, this came together. Brainchild of the creatures from Jekyll Island, as G. Edward Griffin would call them. They wanted to have taxes paid so government projects could feed them money. Adding to the deficit, taking us off the gold standard. This is not good. Now, dollar was a dollar for 113 years. Today, what's a dollar worth with looking backwards to 1913 at the inception of the Federal Reserve? It's less than 3 cents. They have lost 97% plus of the value of the dollar. And we're debating whether or not we should keep these people around. Here we have a recovering economy, and we have a Federal Reserve chair who's sabotaging the Trump economic comeback by not lowering interest rates. It makes no sense why he won't do it. Economically, no one could explain it. It's just plain, absolute sabotage. The Fed is the dodo bird of modern economics. Secretary Bessent, I respectfully submit to you that if the Federal Reserve were, let's say, a baseball manager, and they won less than 3% of our game, their games, how long would they keep their job? They wouldn't make it through the first season. Why are we keeping the Fed? And Trump with stablecoin and emphasis on Bitcoin and emphasis on gold and silver is a move away from the Fed. They had a total economic dictatorship for over a century. It's changing. The Fed needs to be disbanded. Now, President Trump can't take credit for this. He can take credit for what he's doing, which is really good. But the brainchild of this actually came from Ron Paul, former congressman and presidential candidate from Texas. Dr. Ron Paul, yes, Dr. Ron Paul, wanted to end the Fed. He used to be the head of the House Banking Committee. He'd have them before Congress and he'd ask them questions they refused to answer as they would cover for each other. Kind of reminds me of the Otto Penn testimony. The Federal Reserve needs to go away, and I am so happy to hear Secretary Bessent say, we're looking at them. They've made up their mind. They're building the case. Trump wants the Fed gone. He's made that clear with his comments about Jerome Powell. It can't come too soon. This is a very positive development from this president. What will replace it? Government control of the money as dictated in the Constitution, not private control. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time.